Yes, with Ann. Boy, Ann's had a rough time there with three in this past year. That's tough. One's bad. Two's worse, but three is really tough. And I had the opportunity to meet two of her sisters. I think she only has two sisters, if I remember right. But both of her sisters were at camp at different times this past summer. One of them got baptized. And she and her husband both got baptized. They had come to family camp a year ago, I think it was, and accepted the Lord. And her husband was still battling with some things that had been going on in his life before he got saved. And had a rough year of it. And he'd go off into the woods and just park and pray and read the Word. And along about August, he came home one night from work, and he said to his wife, he says, you have a camp brochure from Lilloli? And she said, yeah. And he says, well, send in an application for family camp. And she said, why? He says, well, I've got to go back to Lilloli and get baptized. And they were both baptized in family camp weekend, Labor Day weekend. And you know, there's a whole story that goes along with that, but that's just part of it. But he got baptized, his wife got baptized, and they had just come during for that 3-day period, family Labor Day weekend. Her other sister came down during youth camp, which really helped Ann. I think Ann was head cook. She came, she signed on as kitchen helper, and when she got there, she found out she was head cook. But she did real well. She did real well. She adapted real well. And it was really good for her because it put a lot of pressure on her. She had to think and get her minds off things, you know. And really, she had a good team with her. And her sister was there. And I think it was also very good that her sister was there because they had a chance to really, really get a chance to talk. And had a lot of fun. And her sister's two teenage kids were there, and they helped. And we had a good time. But then to get hit with this, oh, man, I tell you. Your heart really goes out to people. We had a camp corporation meeting last week, and they elected directors. I'm going to put the directors up on the board back there, and also the camp calendars on the back of that. No, it's just a regular calendar. But the camp calendar is up there too. It gives about the same period, general same period of time as we had last year. But the directors are pretty much the same as last year. They gave a financial picture, which is very good. Uncle Dave, you'll be pleased to know that the Lord touched someone's heart to answer the prayer in terms of when people pass on to remember Camp Lilloli in their will.
Yeah, the exciting part about that is that this woman was spoken to by somebody, but she never came to camp who gave that money. Yeah. But there's a lot of people who have come to camp.
Yeah, it was a $25,000 bequest from someone in New Jersey. A woman had passed away. School teacher. Oh, well. Yeah, anyway, retired school teacher. But I don't know whether she'd ever been married. I think she was probably a widow, right? She was a widow or single? She was never married, yeah. She taught 42 years, I think. God bless her. Let's see. How does this say? My sister, as you may have heard, my sister Edna passed away on January 28th. She had been a school teacher in Brooklyn, New York schools for 43 years. She had taught French, Spanish, and occasionally German. The last 6 years of her life, she was a patient in the Longport, New Jersey Gospel Hall home for the aged, and when it closed, she spent her last days in the Lutheran home in Ocean View, New Jersey. She witnessed for the Lord to the very end. Even though we couldn't understand her clearly, yet one of the nurses asked us if she was a preacher. So, Edna Gordon. I guess one person from Northgate had been associated with her in the past. But so camp has right now a good financial situation. We have, in addition to that, we have had a very good year. But our assets right now in the memorial fund, between that bequest and the Dave Roger, and also the Sauer memorials, and maybe one or two others, we have $31,000 in a memorial fund, which is just sitting there until we decide what to do with it. The building fund for the new building is $40,700. Our operating account has $1,700 in it. petty cash has a couple thousand dollars in it. We have a vehicle fund where we've established a fund for a new truck. It has about $6,600 in that. New washhouse fund for the boys area, I believe that would be $4,000. And our total cash in bank accounts, $86,000 in the black. A couple years ago, we were saying $30,000 in the red, you know. So the Lord has been blessing, and we praise the Lord for that. That's not to be said that you should hold back on your giving, but it is the fact that the Lord is blessing, and there's a lot of good things going on that have been going on at camp. I'll have that report up on the that's on the back of the article about the bequest. There's also a list of saved campers, a list of fellowship to full-time workers. We're fellowshipping approximately $16,000 this year with full-time workers. Now, some of that comes off of the offerings on Sunday mornings at camp, but the rest of it comes out of the general fund as we vote on it in the October meeting, September meeting, just a couple weeks ago. Registrar's report, we were 95% filled, 93% filled this year, 93% filled for camp. Which has been very good. And then I have a couple of meetings of minutes, or one meeting of minutes there, which I'll put up there too. So just keep camp in your prayers. It's a real ministry, and there's a lot of work going on. We've lost our director this year. Ray's gone home to be with the Lord, and we have to work on that, getting a new director, a new administrator, I should say. And let's remember that in prayer, because the corporation has to do some business on that. As well as a few other things, we're still wrapping up this next meeting. So let's remember those. Let's remember the ministry at camp, especially in prayer. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1. And we'll read the first 11 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise. Isn't that interesting? Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I didn't notice that when I was preparing the message this week, but God chose to make Paul an apostle. It wasn't Paul that was seeking out Christ on the Emmaus Road or the Damascus Road. It was God that was seeking out Paul and putting an end to this persecution of the church, from his end of it anyway. And he chose to intercede in Paul's life. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. That I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy mother Lois, grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light, through the gospel, whereof I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Interesting opening to his book, to his letter, to Timothy, second letter to Timothy. I was looking at the book of Jude earlier, but I realized we just had Jude in part of her Hebrews. I don't know, my mind went right to some of the verses that Henry de Sardinia was speaking on at the conference. Now, the more I read over it, the more I thought, well, that's the same thing that Henry was talking about. But in Jude, he mentions that he had written a previous letter And Jude, of course, was Jesus' half-brother. James was Jesus' half-brother. But here we have Paul writing to Timothy, and Paul had been intercepted while he was on a mission to persecute the church. And Christ drafted him. In the army, there's two types. There's the enlistees, and there's the ones that are drafted, you know. And the suggestion here is that Paul was drafted by God, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Or he could say according to the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's God's will. It was God's will that Paul should, instead of persecuting the church, should be a partaker of eternal life. And so often we stereotype people, just like Jonah stereotyped the people of Nineveh. And in his racist evaluation of the people of Nineveh, he didn't want to go there. He hated the Ninevites. He had a stereotype about the Ninevites. And God sent him to Nineveh. I'm sure when Paul started on the way down to Damascus, the last thing he thought of in the world is that he was going to wind up preaching the gospel like the people he was going down there to arrest and to persecute. Just as people are being persecuted today, as I was reading to you. But Christ intercepted him on the way and completely transformed his life. Who art thou, Lord? No, who art thou, Lord? In hours before that, minutes before that, he could have cared less who this Jesus Christ was. But then all of a sudden it was, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goats. No. And God intercedes in it. God moves in our life. Have you seen some area of your life this past week where Christ and God have spoken to you? And we need to be looking for that. We need to be listening for that. And we need to be open to that. It's not going to be spectacular like a bright beam of light that causes us to go blind for a week or so, like it did with Paul. Maybe he needed that in order to get his attention, you know. But for us, it might be just that still small voice that as God speaks to us, or as we're reading his word, or as someone else is speaking from the platform, or maybe as our spouse is speaking to us and they're discussing something, you know, about the word of God. Christ intercedes in our life. God intercedes in our life. According to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. There's two statements there that are very interesting. One is verse 1, the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. And then the other one is in verse 10, where he says, it's now made known by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. He can have a promise. He can give us the promise of life by abolishing the power of death over us. Oh, sure, our body dies. You know, our body dies. It might be, it might be young, it might be older, it might be middle-aged. Our body is going to die. But, and unless Christ comes first, but we can have the promise of life if we're in Christ Jesus. So verse 1 and verse 11, or verse 1 and verse 10 are intertwined. He could say in verse 3 that even though he was persecuting the church, he was in his previous walk, he could say that he walked before his leaders in pure conscience. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. And now he could say it as a believer in his love for Timothy. He could say that with a pure conscience, I've been praying for you night and day. Now there's a prayer warrior. That listserv that Carl got me interested in was called Intercessors. And Paul's an intercessor here for Timothy. He not only came to the Lord, but he also discipled him, considered him his son, speaks to him as a father, his spiritual father. And he says, with a pure conscience, I can say that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. There's the kind of prayer warrior we'd like to have, right? There's the kind of prayer warrior we'd like to have. Greatly desiring to see thee, be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Timothy loved Paul as well. Timothy cared about Paul. So there was a bond, whether it's not just an emotional bond, But as there's a spiritual bond build up between mentor and disciple, there's a love established between them as well. Jonathan and David kind of love, not a illicit love, but a real esteem and a real care for the needs of the other person. Desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, he knew that Timothy was concerned about him, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. One of the things that Henry Sardinia spoke on at the conference was feigned faith. Faith that profession without possession. Uncle Dave speaks to us about possessing our possessions. And Paul was able to say to Timothy that he had unfeigned faith. He wasn't faking it. If you read in Jude, it's talking, the first part of Jude, it talks about those that get in among the flock that would deceive, an apostate group that would deceive the believers. Barry says, you have an unfeigned faith. It was first in your grandmother, then in your mother, and you've got it too. I'm sure of it. I'm persuaded of it. And if a disciple has unfeigned faith, then you don't have to be afraid to encourage that disciple to stir up those about him in good works, because they're going to want to get involved. And whether it be your someone you're working with, or whether it be someone your own age, as young couples get together, and the wives can encourage the wives, the guys can encourage the guys, or even some of us older ones encouraging the young ones. As you see people that have a good, solid, established faith in the Lord, an unfeigned faith, it's easy for us to encourage one another to be agitators. It's two kinds of agitators. You know, there's negatives and positives. But Paul is assured that this one's a positive. You know, to stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Don't be afraid to use the gift that God has given you. And boy, we should be working on that. We should be working on that every day, to evaluate those gifts. And there's not very many young people here tonight, but younger couples there are. But as far as young people, you know, teenagers, no. But each of us too, whether we be older, you know, or younger, need to stir up the gift that God's given us. I heard someone speak this past week on DCX, I think it was, and they said that every day that God gives you, He's making an investment. Every day that God gives me, He's making an investment. And He's seeing what we will do with what He has given us. I thought that was an interesting comment. And part of that is stirring and using the gift that He's given us. Using the talents that He's given us. Those, you know, the 10 talents, the 5 talents, the 1 talent, so the story about the stewards or the servants. But also just the fact that we have the Word of God that we're entrusted with. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with the investment God has placed in us? And we should be doing it not out of fear, it says in verse 7. Not out of fear, but in power. Total difference. And it's just the opposite of what the world would have us. The world would have us on the defense instead of the offense. Paul's saying we should be on the offense. We should be not timid. We should be not ashamed. He says, don't be ashamed of me because I've got chains. Don't be ashamed of me because I'm in jail. He said, be brave, be strong. And he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Three things that work together. Spirit of power and love and of a strong mind. Some of us have stronger minds than the rest of us, you know, but some of us show more love than the rest of us. But we should be showing, Timothy was to show the power of God in his life, the love of God in his life, by loving others and of a sound mind. Not doing things spontaneously and not without thinking them out, seeking the Lord's wisdom, but doing things out of a sound mind. It says in verse 9, He has saved us, Christ has saved us, by the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose. And there it goes a little bit again back to verse 1, in terms of Paul was called by the will of God. God has called each of us that are believers according to His own purpose. and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We'll never understand that one. That he's called us according to his own purpose and grace given us before the world began. That's a lot to consider right in that one sentence. Before the world was even began, God gave us things. Amazing. But now it's made known. Now it's revealed by the appearing of Jesus Christ, who's abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I sat down and I looked at some other things in this book. I like to look at verbs. You've heard me talk about that before. But the verbs here are in verse 6, Paul says, stir up the gift that's in you. Verse 8, he says, don't be ashamed. Verse 13, he says, next page for me. Verse 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. In the next verse, in verse 14, he says, keep that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Don't keep in your own strength, but keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. Chapter 2 and verse 1, be strong. Chapter 2 and verse 2, commit to faithful friends, disciple people, evangelize people. Verse 7, consider what I say. We need to meditate on the things of the Word. Not to just hear them, but to meditate on them. Consider, evaluate, apply what I say. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. According to my gospel, Paul says. My gospel. Interesting comment. Verse 14, put these things in remembrance. Verse 15, study. Verse 16, avoid babblings. One negative thing. Avoid babblings. Don't spend time on vain arguments and babblings. 22, flee youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, love, peace. And what I have there. I think true fellowship, let's see. And them that true believers, those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, avoid stupid questions. Verse 24, be gentle. These are all encouragements. These are things, verbs that we should take on too. Be gentle. Be apt to teach. Be patient. You know, there's teachable, the one thing they talk about in teaching methods is there's teachable moments. You can try to teach all your life, you know, to a bunch of kids, especially in a classroom setting. But every once in a while, there's a kid that raises a question. And I'm on this listserv, not just for intercessors, but also for earth science teachers. And there's about 320 of us now on this one listserv. It started out with about 25 people, but I think they said tonight 320, you know, that have signed up now. And this one guy said, he says, they've added this diagram on the reference tables, and I had over 16 questions that the kids gave me today off of this one diagram. And he says we stir up their interest, but how do we nurture them in the material? That's a very good question. Now we as Christians need to stir up interest in the things of the Lord, but then we have to nurture them. After the kid gets a student or even an adult gets an interest in a spiritual thing, we have to nurture it by feeding it and watering it. You know? So there was about 8 of us that jumped in and suggested ways in which we could give these kids some direction in terms of advancing in the questions that they were looking at. What was really interesting to me is that they just added this one diagram this year. They talked about it back in February and March, got the thing printed in June, and all during July, May, June, July, and August, the main astronomy magazines have been addressing the very questions that these kids were raising yesterday in this guy's class. And they were from this diagram that the fellows and women had decided in February to put on in the reference tables. So that the questions were, answers were already being provided during the course of the summer if the teachers were looking and keeping abreast, trying to educate themselves in the subject matter. So I had an interesting time showing them that. So there's a thing there of being gentle and answering and nurturing. Verse 24, be apt to teach. Okay, the teachable moment when a person is asking, when a couple is hurting, when an older person who has lost a spouse, perhaps, and needs just the right moment, there's an opportunity to really minister to them. Apt to teach, apt to minister, apt to serve. Be patient, verse 24. Verse 25, be meek, okay, meekly instructing. Chapter 3 and verse 14, continue. That was one of the things that Brother Sardinia was pointing out to the kids. Keep in the word. Keep in the word. Continue. Not just in word, but in deed. Verse for those that have a ministry in preaching, chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the word. Be diligent, always, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. Notice it's not just long-suffering and an opinion, but in long-suffering and doctrine. Our ministry has to be from the Word of God. Our ministry has to be from the Word of God. If it's just our opinion, forget it. That's what the other people have. I forget who it was that I heard this past week, whether it was Sardinia or whether it was Brother David, I forget who it was, what his name was in Labor Day weekend. But they said that the Christianity is the only religion where God provides the way of salvation. God provided the way of salvation. In the other religions, it's man that has to do the work. Was that Henry at the conference? I can't remember. But it was either he or the brother that spoke from Hamilton at the young people's Labor Day weekend. But Christianity is the only one where the God that they're talking about is the one that provides the way of escape. Everything else talks about works. Everything else talks about what we have to do, if we can possibly do it. And so it says here to continue in doctrine. Watch in all things, verse 5. Endure affliction. These are all just the verbs in this book, okay, that apply to Timothy. The verbs that apply to Timothy. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. You might not have a gift of evangelism, but do the gift that God's given you. I should be doing the gift that God's given me. Make full proof of your ministry. What has God given you to do? Do it. Make full proof of your ministry. That's where the diligence comes in that he talked about earlier in the chapter. And then in the last part, the verbs mainly deal with them, with having Timothy come to see Paul while he was in prison. And he said, be sure you come before winter. He wanted him to get there. And he wanted him not to have a problem of getting hung up on the Mediterranean in the ships there, but rather to get here before winter, before the storms get bad. But let's try to go through a book like Timothy, for instance. I don't know. I haven't gone through 1 Timothy the same way. But try to look at a book in terms of the verbs that apply. As they apply to Timothy, many of these very same exhortations apply to us. And let's remember the ministry that God has given each of us. This is written to a young believer. This is written to one that Paul was going out and was telling to go out and establish churches and establish elders and appointing in chapter 1, in the first epistle, to go out and appoint elders in the churches. And a young man, but yet he was strong for the Lord. Let's take the exhortations for him and see how the applications apply to us. God's given each of you a sphere. Some of your spheres are in construction with churches. Some of your spheres are with customers. Some of your spheres are, one of yours is in a post office. God's given you different spheres. And I don't have the same clientele of people interact with that you do. I mentioned that one other time from the platform. But just think of how many thousands of people we interact with over the course of a year, separate from the people that Audrey interacts with, or Diane interacts with, or Paul interacts with, or Marge, or Larry, or Sandy. You know, the Lord puts us in different positions to talk to different people because they have different needs that you and I can, in our own, you know, level, interact with. It's great. It's great. And it's amazing how God brings in circumstances in life that lets us talk to people. That we otherwise, you know, somebody else in the church wouldn't have a clue to even meet or bump into in all of our life here in Blaisdell or West Seneca or Orchard Park. So as a result, we're the unique one, perhaps, that's to meet, to talk to that person and to share the scriptures with them. And I find that fascinating. And another, all the more important is for us to be ready. Be ready, be apt to teach, be ready to teach, be ready to share, be ready to and be willing to give that word of encouragement or the willing of instruction, the word of instruction, the word of comfort, as God brings that person into your life at that time. What a privilege we have of serving a dynamic God that puts people in different places in their life. I mentioned just in closing, I'm over, but just in closing, I mentioned before that Bethel was down at camp, and this girl came down to buy a candy bar. And there was a girl that lived two houses across the street from us in Buffalo. When we used to live in Buffalo, she lives there now. And we found that out. Bethel found that out in the course of the conversation. Then she found out, well, yeah, I recognize you, though, because my dad took me down Bayview Road last week, the week before camp, and you were walking your dog. And, I mean, only God could have put that girl from our old neighborhood where we used to live on Bayview Road when Biscuit told, about 5 minutes after Biscuit told Bethel she wanted to go for a walk. You know how dogs are. But, I mean, Bethel was in the right place. The father had left 20 minutes before that. The father had left 20 minutes before that off of South Buffalo to come down South Park, to go to Big Tree Road, to go to Bayview Road, so that just at the right time, Bethel would be walking out of Delmar on Bayview Road with the dog. And then a week later, this girl sees Bethel walk in the store at Camp Little Life, 60 miles away from home. Only our God could do that. And I don't know how he interacts in your life, but I know how he interacted in our life at camp with that girl in terms of bringing those situations in. So be grateful for what God, the situations that you have, because sometimes God's preparing you to see this individual person, you know, that he's got something lined up for. Let's pray. Our Father, we're grateful for Paul. And we're grateful, Father, that he discipled this young man. And not only that, but his letters were kept, two letters anyway, were kept for us to read and be encouraged by. Help us, Father, to search out and look for your interacting with us as we go day by day through this life, so that we can be able to be participants in someone else's life, to encourage them, to be there for them, to help them, or to perhaps direct them and answer some questions, to interact with them and maybe rebuke them if necessary, if it's someone, a believer who is in sin, maybe to counsel, maybe to just to be there to listen. But Father, we're thankful that you're an interactive God, a dynamic God, a God that would put a beam of light around Paul so bright that it blinded him while he was on his way to persecute, so that you could change his whole life around, that he might be an apostle and a preacher and a leader to the Gentiles, who had just, other than Peter, had not been approached by thee. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to be likewise willing servants and interactive with people around us, even as you interact in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.